How would you like to make more money with the existing customers you have, or even make more money with less customers? Does that sound good? Well, it should, and it's something you should pay attention to, and the topic is called revenue management. Let's go!
It's time to become the overdog. All you dog businesses, get ready to level up. This is the Overdog Podcast.
Woo-hoo! I say, woo-hoo! Are you hearing me? I hope you are, because I am celebrating. Yes, indeed, and I think I'm celebrating a little prematurely, too. All right? And I will tell you why, and hopefully you will be as excited as I am. Well, maybe not as excited, but maybe you'll be mildly excited, we'll say. I'm jumping the gun here, but as of next month, in April, and the reason I'm jumping the gun is because I will be away at the Overdog Business Retreat when the actual anniversary happens, but next month will mark 3-year anniversary of this very podcast. Can you believe that I've been doing this for 3 years and you've been along for the ride? Pretty cool, I have to say. The first episode of the Overdog Podcast went out April 21st of 2021. Wow, can you dig it? It's been a long ride, and it still continues to be so much fun for me. So I am not stopping anytime soon. I'm looking forward to the 10-year anniversary. We'll see how that goes, but I'm excited. It's really just awesome. The reason that I'm still doing it is because you guys keep telling me that you love it. I've heard so much great feedback from you guys, and whenever I go to a conference or on social, you guys are always telling me that you value these podcasts and they're helping you in your business, and that just makes me smile, all right? And thank you, anybody who took the time to leave a review on all of the podcast platforms. I greatly appreciate that. That helps people find us, and, you know, it's just great, as you've heard on the podcast, great social proof. So I really appreciate, and I'm just so grateful for all each and every one of you guys for taking the time out of your day and putting me in your ears for a little bit. So I'm really proud of this podcast, and a lot of it is due to you guys. So thank you so much for being a part of this ride, and let's keep the ride going. Today I got a cool interview, really cool interview, and something I really want you to pay attention to, okay? Because this is so important and can mean a lot of extra money into your business. You have a lot of money sitting in your business waiting that is unclaimed. All right? So I really want you to listen to this episode. Before I get into this interview, I want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by our good friends over at Natura. Natura is a very unique outdoor turf option for your business. All right? If you have a worn outdoor dog yard, you know, grass, dirt, and you're tired of all that cleaning and the mess it makes and the dogs digging holes to China and having to clean these dogs when they're all coming in, this is a great option for you. What Natura does, it lays directly on the bare dirt and it easily anchors in place, super easy to install, and it's a different kind of turf. It's a hybrid turf, so there's big holes in it. Not big, there's holes in the turf so that grass can grow in between. That is awesome because it is cooler, definitely, than turf and other turfs and regular real grass. But it allows the smells to be there and the experience of being outside great for the dogs. All right, they just enjoy being in nature and getting to sniff the natural ground. So it's pretty cool, and it's easy to maintain. You can just seed right over it. You can mow right over it, just like you would any other turf. It's easy to change if you, like in high traffic areas, you could just change a part of them. You don't have to redo the whole thing. There's really no other yard solution like Natura out there. So I want you to go check it out over at natura-turf.com. And if you go to /overdog, let them know that Fern sent you. They'll take really good care of you. Once again, that's natura-turf.com/overdog. It's a cool product and a cool company, so check them out. All right, it's time. Let's get into it. Here's today's interview. All right, everybody, big treat for you today. Another guest here on the podcast, and it's a good one. I am joined today by not only the VP of Operations of the kennel at Arbor Lane, but also the co-founder of Goose Software, which you guys who are used to the podcast are very familiar with. You're probably sick of hearing me talk about it. So I'm very excited to be joined by the one, the only one, Chris Tilson. How are you?
Burn, so good to be here, man. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's awesome to have you here. It's been kind of, I think, a long time coming. So I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but we're going to try to stay focused on one topic here. And before we get into the idea of revenue management, because I think it's very important for people to understand that and to kind of optimize it in their businesses, why don't you just tell everyone about you, how you got here, and what you're working on?
Yeah, certainly. Definitely, we have a lot to cover, so let's stay focused and try to get everything covered here. But so Goose represents, just to kind of that initial background, it represents maybe like a significant leap forward in how the pet care industry utilizes technology. So it's your full operational suite of software and really enables a pet care business to run more efficiently and be as profitable as possible. So it's your, you know, operating system and CRM or customer record management, your online booking engine, channel management, revenue management. It's all of those components under one roof in one product. So that's the angle we're coming at from Goose. But I guess to maybe step back a little bit and give you some idea of my background and how I ended up in this position. So I actually have the fortunate advantage of sitting on both sides of the table. So one, from building the technology that serves the industry, but then I'm also on the other side of the table, which is using the technology that I'm building. So I'm eating my own dog food and using the products that we're actively building for the industry. And just a little more background on that is I'm actually like a product of the industry. So dating back even before my time, my mom actually started boarding dogs way back in the 60s. So, you know, it's not to go off on too much of a diatribe here, but just it's a fun story that she loved dogs and couldn't get enough of them. Grew up on a goat dairy farm. And my grandpa at the time was like, you know, maybe we should build you a few kennels in this horse barn and you can start boarding friends, family, neighbors, dogs as they go on vacation. She jumped at the opportunity. Before she knew it, she was boarding 40, 50 dogs at a time. And this is through high school, all the way through college, into her adult years. And then here I come along. So I'm literally born into the industry. And eventually my parents build the professional pet care facility that we operate today, the kennel at Arbor Lane. And so I, it's always kind of been my destiny to be in the industry, I guess. You know, for a short time in college, I thought I would go off in a different direction and definitely considered that, but, you know, did some soul searching and said, look, there's nothing that I know better than pet care. I've been in it my entire life. Why not go head first, right back into it? So that's kind of like my story of how I've been in the industry, you know, my entire life. That's all I've ever known. And so operating the kennel at Arbor Lane has given me a first row seat at how the industry operates and, you know, kind of the needs of the industry from a technology standpoint.
Yeah. And tell me about petbookings.com. How did that fit in?
Yeah. So PetBookings was my first go at a technology startup in the pet care space. So as you can imagine, I came right out of college. I was young and ambitious and ready for, you know, to shake things up, right? And being, you know, young and right out of college, technology, I just gravitated towards it. And at that time, we were literally pen and paper. It was spreadsheets and filing cabinets and phone reservations. And so, you know, I'm stepping back and looking at that and watching the pet parents walk through my door who have just booked all of their travel online. And I'm thinking to myself, why the heck can't they book pet boarding reservations online? And that's what sent me down the path to maybe solve that problem. This is circa, 2007, 2008. And at the time, you know, kennel management software could not do online bookings. So I just set out to do it myself. Pet bookings was my attempt to solve that problem. And while it was hugely beneficial for my own business, it was just a little bit early. You know, timing's everything sometimes. And it was a little bit early for this industry. So what I did was ton of learnings came out of pet bookings, you know, launching e-commerce for the pet care industry. And then out of just sheer necessity, having to bake in revenue management tools and tactics into the e-commerce booking engine. And so a ton of learning. And I just kind of bided my time as the industry caught up. And then, you know, we've taken a lot of those learnings from pet bookings and then rolled them into Goose and what we're doing today.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the blood. You got pet care in the blood. There's no escaping it. You can't run from it. You've embraced it. I love it. So that's really cool. And I love what you, you know, one of the things I get, you know, in being around this industry and consulting with a bunch of businesses and being a speaker and stuff, I get shown a lot of products and services and stuff. And I think the one of the things that really excited me about you guys is that there's a lot of stuff, a lot of software is to help you organize your business and your clients and stuff. But it's that revenue management piece that is the kind of like the magic button, the secret sauce, the stuff that is so impactful is why I'm so excited. And I asked you to come on and talk about that. So why don't we just start by telling people, what the hell do you mean by revenue management? What does that mean? How does it work in pet care?
For sure. It definitely is a huge superpower in this industry. And I wish I could take credit of like, yeah, I knew that. But it was definitely a roundabout way where I arrived at revenue management as just sheer necessity for what I was doing with the online bookings. As I rolled out online bookings, you know, really my number one reason for doing that was just providing that convenience to my customers. I figured I would certainly appreciate that. So why wouldn't they? And so I really rolled out online bookings as a convenience. I thought it would be really great. It wasn't soon after that I realized when you open your reservation book up to the world, you as a business need to maintain control over what's coming in. And that's essentially where the revenue management comes into place. So you end up finding out ways of automating certain restrictions and rules and policies in that e-commerce world that allow you to just automate revenue management across the board. And for those out there listening, like revenue management, maybe we should back up and what the hell is revenue management, right? So the requirements for an industry that implement revenue management it's really just two. So you have fixed capacity and the products or services that you're selling expire. So in our world, specifically my world, I had 60 indoor-outdoor runs. A lot of places have a maximum dog headcount that they can take care of. So that's your fixed capacity. You can't build more runs overnight. You kind of are stuck with the facility that you have in the short term, right? And then the products and services expire. So what does that mean? Well, I can't go back to last week and sell that unsold room. Like it's gone. It's in the past. So you have fixed capacity, services that expire, you are ripe to implement revenue management. And I guess the most simplest definition of revenue management would be selling the right service to the right person at the right time at the right price. So that's a lot of balls in the air if you're juggling, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to do that on the fly over the phone. So you really need systems in place that help your whole team move towards that objective of selling the right service to the right person at the right time at the right price.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned there, it's not something you want to just make up on the spot. This is something that has to be planned out if you want it to be successful, you got to be, you know, make sure everything's, all your ducks are in a row there so that you can maximize all that stuff. You can't wing it, this stuff, or else, you get what you put into it. You put some effort into it and you get good results. If you're just figuring this out, I would think on the fly, you're not going to see the results.
Oh, for sure. And you definitely have to have some planning and some thought that goes into it. It obviously doesn't hurt to have the right tools in place that you can leverage and use. It's always a mixed bag on how people receive this in the pet care industry. It's like, it's intriguing, but I don't know how I would do it, or I don't know how my customers would react to it. So there's definitely kind of mixed results, but I think for the most part, people are kind of coming around to the idea of, well, they see it everywhere else in their everyday life, right? If you're booking a hotel or an airline ticket, you're being revenue managed. Hell, if you're even buying a movie ticket on a Friday night versus a Tuesday morning, you're being revenue managed. So you see it in your everyday life. And then I think this industry is really coming around, starting to embrace that idea where they can certainly implement it in their business for the positive.
Okay. Yeah. And so why don't we start by just giving some guidelines, maybe some like best practices if someone wants to kind of optimize the revenue they have coming in and kind of get start on this process. Like where do we start and how do we get things set up?
For sure. I think it starts with really knowing your business. I've had many facilities over the years who want me to help them with a revenue management plan and putting some policies in place. But I always start with, like, I need to know more about your business. I know directionally when you guys are busy, but precision matters. I need to know your exact number. So I think it starts with an export of data and a little bit of an analysis where you can really precisely identify the times of the year where you are busiest and have the highest demand, because that's where you have the leverage to then change some policies and put some rules in place that you will see the best results. So I think it's with that. It's really understanding your business and knowing the historical data and knowing where that's tracking so you can forecast out into the future and predict where you're going. Obviously, there are some new upstarts who don't have that historical data. And that's not to say you can't utilize revenue management. I think there are ways that you can still put directional revenue management tactics in place that over time, once the data builds and your analysis gets a little, more honed in, you can then just fine tune the settings. Because something that's true with revenue management, even at my facility today, I don't set it and forget it. It is a constant revisiting. You have to kind of put these settings in place, and you're constantly monitoring and seeing how the market's reacting to your settings and adjusting on the fly in many cases.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Is I think a lot of times in our quest to automate and take things off our plate, we tend to do things and think, okay, we never have to worry about that again. But yeah, it's an ongoing process, just as the ebbs and flow of the business changes month to month, sometimes week to week. We need to be able to, take a look at that. And so is there any particular data you're looking at? Is it all like, are you looking at particular services? Are you looking at particular time periods? Is it all about what the demand is? How do you figure out like where to kind of put your effort into?
Yeah, I mean, it's largely based on demand. That's the easiest place to start, I would say. For example, my facility in my area today kicks off spring break. Very high demand, right? So we can expect peak capacity for starting today for the next week, couple weeks. It is. It's demand, but then also there's a timing aspect in there as well. And where I used to be in my journey with revenue management, or really just running a pet care facility in general, is, as you can imagine, decades of history of running a family business, you tend to get a following over the years, and you have a pretty good foundation of customers and clientele. what comes with that is a huge demand. And I used to fill up months in advance. And I used to sit back and beat my chest and look how awesome we are. We're full 3 months in advance. And now, with a much different perspective, using revenue management as my guide, I think, wow, how foolish was that? Selling out 3 months in advance, because what happens for those 3 months leading up into that peak period? I am just building a wait list and turning people away and telling people no. So what it told me was I didn't have an aggressive enough approach. People were not being turned away. And so it is somewhat counterintuitive to just running a business, but it's a discipline that I've had to learn over time that allows me to turn away business today for better business tomorrow. Because I know from historical data, in that 3 months leading up until the peak period actually comes, I will have better reservations come along. If I take something too soon and I sell a weekend reservation over spring break, that's really one that I prefer to deflect and put on the wait list, because I know maybe tomorrow or the next day or next week, a week-long reservation is going to come along and want to take up that same space. So there, it's hard when somebody comes money in hand and wants to give it to you to say, no, thanks. I'm going to wait for a better deal to come along. But it's a discipline that I've had to learn over time.
Yeah, that's so important. It's all about playing the long game, just understanding the big picture and being proactive instead of reactive. You know, you're not just saying, okay, this is what someone gives me today. No, I know I have a plan. And again, if you have some historical data, then you could say, I know what to expect here. You know, especially now, most of my clients, when I talk to them, I'm like, for all the busy weeks and holiday periods and stuff, they know they're going to be booked up. It's going to happen. So it's predictable, you know, and unless something weird happens, you know, you're going to be booked up. So I think that's really smart, understanding that, you know, this 2 day reservation may be squashing the ability to take that week long reservation.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite things, it's always stuck with me, because I will have facilities who they know they're busy and they will want to set a very blanket setting across the time period where they will be busy, but it's not a precise setting. It's covering too much ground over, like, let's say the summer. Yeah, you're busy during the summer, but are you as busy on a Tuesday as you are on a Saturday? Probably not. So it really requires a slightly different setting on a Saturday versus a Tuesday. And so that's where I really try to challenge pet care facilities to know their data with precision. And one of my favorite lines is, prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. So I can't prescribe something to you without really diagnosing what the issue is, or I'll be leading you in the wrong direction.
Yeah, so important. I think a lot of people make that mistake. And the thing is, most of us have the data, so we got to spend some time. It's not fun, you know. And I just did a podcast about just recently about how you need to do the things you need to do and not the things you want to do sometimes. So looking into those numbers is not what you like to do, not what you want to do, but it's something you need to do for the health of your business. So, you know, it makes sense to do it. So I definitely see how being able to maximize the stays you have from those like boarding stays and stuff. Are there other ways that revenue management, some other tips besides that you can use revenue management to increase profits?
Yeah, so I really use like three pillars at my facility. The first being rate adjustments. So I have definitely gotten away from a static price. If you call my facility today and talk to a front desk person and you say, what are your rates? They will immediately follow that up with, how can you take a look? What dates are you looking at? Because we don't know what the rates are until we put in the dates, because there are no fixed prices. It's all dynamic, reacting in real time. We have two ways of setting up dynamic rates. It's, as you had already mentioned, proactive and reactive. So we can look out into the future based on historical data and say, I know for 100% positivity that we will be busy over 4th of July. right? So I can block off from this date to that date and put a rate adjustment in place. That's proactive planning. Now, there's another way to do it reactively, where in your system, you can dial in different settings that will monitor actual real-time occupancy that you're seeing in your system for whatever dates that you put in, know what the occupancy is, and adjust the rates automatically based on the demand that you're actively seeing at that time. So I use those in together. So I will proactively put my rate adjustments in place and then also double down and let the system reactively know if I'm filling up sooner or even for a time period that I wasn't expecting to be that busy. I don't want to be caught off guard. And so I'm just reacting to that demand and letting the price adjust naturally based on the market demand at that time. So that's one thing is dynamic pricing. The other really effective tool that I use in conjunction with that would be minimum booking value. And you might think of minimum booking value being very similar to a minimum length of stay. And in the hotel industry, you'll see that very commonly used. But in our world, in the pet care world, minimum booking value actually makes a little more sense because we can now optimize for length of stay and the number of pets in the reservation. So if Mrs. Smith comes along with one dog for, you know, 10 days, and Mrs. Jones comes along with three dogs staying together for 5 days, that shorter stay might be just as valuable as the longer stay. So I'm not going to deflect that one. I want to optimize for number of pets and the length of stay. So using our 4th of July example, what I'll often do is back into a minimum booking value. So I'll look at my calendar and say, okay, based on historical data, I have commonly seen in the past 8-night reservations over that time period. And for the 4th, it really depends when it falls, like if it's the weekend or middle of the week. But with confidence, X confidence level, I can expect 8 nights. And if I want my base package at $50 a night, you know, maybe my minimum booking value during that week is $400. So that's how I kind of back into a minimum booking value. And I'll do that for every peak period throughout the year. And I'll set it and I'll constantly revisit it and see how we're filling up. And maybe I adjust it. Maybe I change the dates. Maybe I shift it. But I have to put something in place to protect me from taking that overnight stay over 4th of July, which I desperately don't want. And it's a way, it's a starting point, right? I guess the third pillar to my revenue management strategy, so I dynamically set my rates. I'll put some minimum booking values in place. The third thing is blackouts. So how I kind of merchandise my offerings are I have 5 different packages. And during busy periods, I might black out my lowest 2 packages and just push people into a more valuable package. So I just basically take them off the table and say, nope, those are sold out. You know, this is what's left. And so again, it's a great way to just maximize that high demand period. And all those three things acting together really ends up in significant results revenue-wise.
Yeah, I just think, you know, little things like this, you're taking your existing, like you say, your existing kennels, your existing building, and you're able to get the most value possible out of it with the same number of clients.
Exactly. And in many cases, I've been able to see better results with fewer clients.
Yeah.
You're not maximizing only on occupancy and numbers, but you're optimizing on quality.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And I think it's brilliant to do in the boarding space. Does it work with any other services within the pet industry, or is it pretty much only functional in the boarding space?
Oh, for sure. We see it being adopted in the daycare space as well. We, you know, as we analyze data, you know, Wednesday seems to be kind of the peak day of the week where people decide daycare's best for me. And so we'll see where people will slightly raise Wednesday's price to push people off that peak period and push them off into a Tuesday or a Thursday, which really flattens out their workload, but at the same time gets them more revenue and allows them to not max out on Wednesday and then also gain more revenue on those shoulder days throughout the week. You know, grooming might be a little more tough to revenue manage. You have such a repeat clientele. People kind of have an expectation of what that groom price is going to cost. I have seen facilities utilize revenue management for grooming around holidays and Christmas because everybody wants in the week before Christmas, right? They want their dog pretty for the family get together and Christmas morning or something like that as an example. And so maybe it's $10 more that week. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, it's definitely an option to utilize or at least explore that possibility. Because I will tell you one thing, everybody's fear is like, oh my gosh, how will my customers react if I change the price by a few bucks? And in the real world, because I've definitely pushed the envelope on this, because I would never suggest doing something unless I've tried it myself. And so I've dipped my toe in that water and really pushed the envelope on exploring how far can I expand, you know, pricing based on what my base price was. And to be honest, the pushback isn't there. People, you may have a few people who say something, but you'll have that if you change it from $1 or $10. So those people will always voice their opinion. And I just base it off, am I still busy? Do I still have a full kennel? And if the answer is yes, you're not pushing it too far.
Yeah, I think no matter what, you're always going to get people who are complaining. Like you said, even if you raise the price 50 cents, you're going to get people who are bitching at it. So how do you handle pricing on your website? So do you list pricing or is it you have to call to find the pricing? Because I personally, I'll be honest with you, I've always encouraged people to put pricing on the website for transparency and to let people know if they're comparison shopping with three different businesses, if they get their answers on one, but one they're not sure about, they got to take an extra step. They may just go with the company that they're sure about. How does that work?
Yeah, so the pricing is on my website in the sense that it lives in the booking engine. So just like you would go to a hotel website, you most likely do not see pricing on Holiday Inn's website on their homepage, right? You have to actually click through a booking to see what the price of a room is for those dates.
Yeah.
That's where the pricing lives. And people, consumers know that path. Like they see a book now button. They're like, oh, well, let me see what the price is if there's availability. So they're killing two birds with one stone of checking availability and seeing what the price is just by clicking and going down that booking path. As far as posting a static price on my website, no way, no how. Like that's just not in what I do. It's on the booking engine and it's that way because it's always changing. So there's no way I could post a static price because it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, but they can get the price if they just go to the booking engine and put in the dates they need and then the price comes up. And so they can get the information. And like you said, it's something that we all know. You know, we got to book something online for us. We know how it works. You know,
exactly. You don't have to retrain the consumer. They know exactly how this works.
Yeah, and I would think it takes a lot of pressure off staff to try to say, okay, now I have to, you know, they don't have to worry about or think about any of this stuff. It happens for them.
100%, right? So, you know, that's one of the just great side effects that happens if you launch your online booking engine and utilize revenue management is consumers can go to work for you and they'll find out the price and availability and book their own reservation. Your phone rings half as much, right? So it really frees up your front desk in a great way.
Yeah, no, I think that's another, I think, benefit we don't realize. You know, a lot of these people are not really trained in customer service or taking care of, you know, sales and stuff. And we're putting our business in their hands.
You're so right, Fern. Like, that was, I guess, another thing that I wish I could take credit for. Again, the whole reason of launching the online booking engine originally many years ago was providing the convenience. What I had no idea that would happen and come out of that was the increased sales. So people are going online, stepping through that booking engine, and it gave me a great way to merchandise, sell online a different way. And consumers are great at consuming. They gravitate towards that higher offer, that better package. So they were upselling themselves through my booking path and then going to the next page and then adding all these a la carte items, things that my staff wasn't doing a great job of over the phone. And so we're getting these reservations coming in. They're revenue managed. They fit my criteria of a certain minimum booking value for whatever time book period they're booking. But now those consumers are also upselling themselves in a great way. And I'm getting higher dollar value reservations.
Yeah, I love it. I love it because I was just talking about this. And I've talked about this a lot, about like that super famous McDonald's campaign years ago, you want fries with that. You know, they just had all of their people at the front taking orders. If they didn't order fries, they just asked if you wanted fries with that. And a giant number of people said yes, if you just make the ask. So I keep saying your profits will go up the more offers you make. So you have to, but you have to make the ask. And the problem is the front desk staff doesn't always remember. They don't know how to do it. They feel weird. They don't want to, but here, if your software is doing it for you and it's like, oh yeah, of course, I would love a bath. Like I didn't even think of that, you know? So it seems like you're going to automatically increase kind of the cart value of every person coming in there.
100%. And we have some really cool things in the pipeline that are coming soon that, again, it just asks the question, right? So during the booking process, do you want fries with that? You know, you ask the question and then they book the reservation. And then there's ways to then follow up on that booking, as there's a lead time from when they booked to when they actually check in. There's some natural touch points where you can ask again, hey, you want fries with that? We saw you didn't add any. And then they check in. And there's also automated touch points that we're building into that process, that now they're sitting on the beach, their dog's checked into the facility and they're on vacation and they get a text message saying, hey, Fluffy's doing great. By the way, it's a beautiful day in Indy. Do you want to add a nature hike? Who's not going to hit yes?
Right. Yeah.
So there's great ways to automate that. Do you want fries with that, with throughout till the end of the stay?
Yeah. And I think it's just such a simple way to increase the revenue with the customers you already have. They're there. I think so many places are leaving so much money on the table because they're not really taking advantage of these simple, they're fairly simple things that they just don't know how or don't have the capacity to put into play.
That's a great point too. Like, these pet owners want to spend on their pets. Like, it makes them feel better. And I found that out over the years of just offering it to them, and people will eat it up and they'll self-select right into it. And it makes you feel better, or it makes them feel better. But at the same time, I also know as an operator, the more services or things that we're doing with that pet, the better stay that it has. It just has a better experience overall. So I feel good about it. The pet owner feels good about it. It's kind of a win-win across the board.
Yeah, what I always try to tell people, and what someone, one of my coaches many years ago told me, is like, you have an obligation to sell these people. You know what a difference you could make in the lives of their pets and how valuable your services are to them. You're obligated to sell them because you know you're going to do a great job and they're going to be better off having done that. So that's where you have to kind of get out of your own way. And again, let the customer decide if they want it or they don't want it.
Yeah. And from, I guess, the automation of doing all that, I know, as you said, like the front desk staff aren't always trained salespeople, and being able to kind of automate that process and take it out of their hands is pretty helpful.
Yeah, it's pretty, because we expect too much of some of these entry level people that are working the front desk, and we're we're unrealistic about what they can do, especially if we haven't trained them to do that. And it's hard to train someone that we're not really sure how to do it ourselves. So I think it's important. Yeah, this is awesome. So tell me, I know like the thing that really gets me excited about Goose is this part of it. So I remember, I still remember I was telling somebody the story again about when I first met you guys and you pulled me over to look at your software and I'm like, oh God, here we go. Another software company. Yeah, let me see it. Oh yeah, there's you get the vaccine records. I see it looks really nice. And I like, and you were showing me and I was kind of, just going through the motions, and then you showed me the revenue management part, and I can remember just like everything just stopping. I was like, wait, what was that? Like, what can you do? And that's when I was like, I gotta learn more. I was like so excited about it because that's something I've never seen before. So, talk to us about Goose a little bit about what you guys are working on.
Yeah, so as you know, we've rolled out boarding and daycare and currently working on grooming. So we're coming out with a full suite of software for a full service pet care facility. A big cornerstone of that is obviously the revenue management and the online booking engine that is coupled with it. A lot of the things we're building now, in our mind are kind of table stakes. Like you said, managing vaccination records and customer records, those are all kind of table stake items. It just needs to be a part of the suite of software. Where we're really excited is that revenue management aspect, the online booking engine that we're bringing real e-commerce to this industry. It opens up so many opportunities and it just really changes the way a business operates in this space. And it's so awesome. Let me just tell this story real quick, Fern, because you've been in the game for a long time. And you and I go way back from your first, I think, Zoom at that Minnesota location many years
Yes,
ago. And
that was a long time
it
ago.
was. And so that's where my mind immediately went was my first trip to Hershey, Pennsylvania at the Pet Boarding Daycare Expo in 2012. I was launching pet bookings and I'm so excited. Like I'm bringing this new technology to this space. It's going to be so awesome. Online booking engine, and people are going to love it. It was the exact opposite. They didn't know what to do with it. It was so far, the timing was so far off. I couldn't have missed the mark more on timing. And so the industry had to catch up all these years. But what's so cool about that is now I go back to that exact same trade show, and we are just getting bombarded in the booth with interest. Of they're so excited. People are gravitating towards this type of solution with so much glee and excitement that it's been a long time coming, but it's so cool to see the reaction of the industry. And I think it kind of tells you how it's evolved so much over the years too, where it really used to be kind of a hobbyist industry, which there's many people who are in it because they love dogs, but there's lots of people in it that are also becoming more business minded, and they see an opportunity to really advance their business and grow their business. So this is a very helpful tool to, I think, everybody in the business, whether you're looking to grow your business to make more money, or those who are just kind of wanting to, offload a little bit of workload and automate some processes. We have you covered as well.
Yeah, I think and there's no reason to do what you love, take care of dogs, and make a living and build a business as well. You could do
You
it
can have
all.
your cake and eat it too,
Yeah.
right?
Awesome. Now, I think you guys have prepared a little guide that people can download about revenue management. Is that correct?
Exactly right. I think that's coming out today. We've put together an ebook, revenue management guide. It's on our website. So check it out at goose.pet. You can find it there, I believe, under resources at the top header. And so a lot that we've covered today will be in that ebook for reference. And as your listeners know, they're more than happy to reach out to me or you at any time with any questions.
Yeah, and I'll have the links to that in the show notes on this episode over at the overdogdigital.com website over on the podcast. And if you're interested in Goose and seeing what they do, I recommend you go on over to goose.pet and get a tour. Take a look at yourself and then see what it can do. But I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to help a lot of businesses take it to the next level. And I think it's something that's been very needed in this space to have this kind of technology. So thank you, Chris, for hanging out here with us today and teaching us all that stuff. And I'm excited to see what you guys are going to continue to do to shake this up in the future.
Fern, thanks so much for having us. We're super excited about where this is going, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
If you'd like some help with your own business, head over to overdogdigital.com and you can sign up to have a free phone consult with me. And we'll talk about your business goals, where you want to go, and we can see if you're a right fit for our services.